Thanks, team, for leading us in worship this morning. We appreciate you and sharing your gifts with us that God's blessed you with. I said to Patty, what a terrifying thing. I didn't say what a terrifying thing, but I was thinking what a terrifying thing it would be up here to have a guitar in your hands and like have to change songs and chords and stuff, and it's just like, it frightens me. And I would way rather be by myself standing here in front of you talking, which Steve has often said he wouldn't want my job. But it's all good, and God gifts us in different ways for different things, for different reasons, and for his ultimate and good purposes. Well, we're beginning, last week we kind of introduced a little bit, and we're beginning a series we're going to be looking at over the next number of weeks called Living in the Goodness of God. I like that idea. I like the idea of living in the goodness of God. And we're considering this because when you don't understand, when you don't consider how good God really is, it creates all kinds of problems in our lives. And what we're going to do is go through a book of the Bible. It's Psalm 23, probably the most famous chapter in the Bible. And we're going to consider the goodness of God as we find it revealed throughout that chapter. Why don't we look at that chapter together, and we'll just read it together so that we know what we're talking about here and as we hit into it. And I'll read it, and you can look along on the screen here. This Psalm 23 is a psalm of David. It goes like this: The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. Today, I believe that you're going to leave here with a tip on how to be healthier. Everybody reads those articles. How can I be a little healthier? Just one simple tip. I think today you're going to leave here with a tip on how to be healthier and how to have more time in your life for the good things, for the productive things. It's simple to say, a little more challenging to do, as it is for many good things in our lives. But today, we'll see why God says you should never have to worry about anything. And then how do we connect with God meeting the needs that are in our lives? So those two things. Now as we do this, let's keep in mind three things about the goodness of God this morning. Let's keep in mind three things about the goodness of God. First of all, God is the source of everything I need to live. God is the source of everything I need to live. The first verse of this chapter says, The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Now, I'm assuming, but perhaps the very first question might be, what's a shepherd? Well, most of you didn't grow up on a sheep farm, but shepherds are the people who care for, who look after the sheep. It makes sense, right? Sheep have been described and tend to be described as fairly defenseless animals. They have a lot of natural predators. They're not fast. They don't have claws. They don't have teeth with sharp incisors that can bite. On top of that, they're characterized as not very smart animals. And they fall off cliffs and they get lost and all kinds of things. And so they really need a defender. They need a shepherd. I mean, left on its own, a sheep's in some circumstances is probably going to get eaten. And what does a shepherd do? And I just want to simply put it this morning. A shepherd feeds, leads, and cares for needs. That's what a shepherd does for his sheep. He feeds, he leads, and he cares for their needs. That's what a shepherd does. And similarly, God says, I will be your shepherd. I will feed you, I will lead you, and I will care for your needs. Now, our needs are many, aren't they? We tend to be needy. Sometimes we need protection. Sometimes we need comfort. Sometimes we need encouragement. Sometimes we need a little discipline. And sometimes we need direction, to mention some things. So God is the source of everything I need to live. Secondly, let's just keep in mind there's nothing I need that God can't supply. There's nothing I need that God can't supply. In Philippians chapter 4, 19, it says this: God will supply all you'll ever need from his glorious resources in Christ Jesus. God's goodness isn't based on your goodness. It's based on his goodness. So you don't have to be good for God to be good to you. God is good to you because of what Jesus did on the cross. God is good to us because he loves us. He cares for us. He made us. And then the third thing to keep in mind is God doesn't want me worrying about anything. God is the source of everything I need to live. There's nothing I need that God can't supply. And thirdly, God doesn't want me worrying about anything. God says, you don't need to worry. I don't want you worrying. It's pretty clear, I think, Philippians 4, 6, don't worry about anything. I think that's as translatable as it gets. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So I think if we say, oh, that's too, I don't want to bother God about that. That's too little. That's too trivial. Okay. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And I think that covers pretty much, everything. I think so anyways. God says, I don't want you worrying about anything. In the famous Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us some reasons why worry is worthless in our lives. First, he talks about the idea that worry is unreasonable. In other words, it doesn't make sense. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 says, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink. Don't worry about your body, what you'll wear. Your life is far more important than clothes. He says, don't worry. Don't worry about these, which really in the scheme of things are minor issues here. He's saying that worry is unreasonable. You know, when it comes to worrying about things, we typically worry about the wrong things. In fact, studies have shown, and not church studies, but like studies have shown that 85% of what people worry about never happens. Ew. 85% of what you worry about never actually happens. Now, maybe you all are the exception here, but this is just a general studies of our society. So that means 15% of the things that you worry about do happen. That's the part that you're worried about. But study after study goes on to say and concludes that almost 80% of those people out of the 15% of the things that happen, almost 80% of those people discovered either they could handle the difficulty better than expected, or that difficulty taught them a lesson worth learning. As well with worry, if you can't change it, there's no real logical reason to simply worry about it. And then what can happen with worry, of course, is that when you do worry about something, it often gets bigger in your mind. Well, another reason worry is worthless is that Jesus says worry is unhelpful. It's unreasonable. And it's unhelpful. It's useless. It doesn't work. Worry is worthless. It doesn't change anything when you worry. Matthew 6:27, Jesus says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Anybody figure that one out? No. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Proverbs 12:25 says, worry weighs us down. It weighs us down. You don't have to put your hand up, but have you ever been weighed down by worry? Of course you have. Has it ever weighed you down? Yes. You think about so many things that you're worried about, and we can start to get discouraged, and we can start to get depressed. And God tells us in his word that our body wasn't designed for worry. It's actually unhealthy. People who worry a lot don't live as long as other people. Have you ever heard the phrase, "I'm worried sick"? Yeah. And I'm even guessing some of you have used that. Oh, I'm worried sick. You know that? I'm worried sick. You can worry yourself sick and cause all kinds of problems in your stomach and lack of sleep and insomnia and stuff like that. Worry wears you out. But the Bible says in Proverbs 14:30, a heart at peace gives life to the body. A heart at peace gives life to the body. You want to be healthier? Oh, this is so easy, right? Stop worrying. Worry is unnecessary. Well, worry is also worthless because worry, worry is unbelief. Worry is doubting God. God has promised to take care of every need in your life if you trust him. In Philippians 4:19, the Message and the Living Bible say, you can be sure that God will take care of everything you need because of what Jesus has done for us. Matthew 6:32 says, people who don't know God and the way he works, they worry over these things. Do you think God ever worried? Probably not, right? No. That's the Jesus answer, right? Do you think God ever worried? No. And God made you in his image. He doesn't want you to spend your time wasting on worry. He made you in his image. He doesn't worry. He doesn't want you to worry. John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus says, don't be worried. What do I do instead of worrying? He says, trust in God and also trust in me. Wow. Trust in God and also trust in me. So how do you trust him to meet your needs? How do I do that? I know it comes out in words real easy, but when I actually apply that to my life, how do I do that? Well, it's actually not rocket science, so you can relax, and we'll just consider four quick things that we can do repeatedly, probably not just once. It takes a little discipline, maybe even every day. The first thing is, every day, I ask Jesus to be my shepherd. Be my shepherd. What does a shepherd do? Feeds and leads and takes care of the sheep's needs. Every day I ask Jesus to be my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. If I ask him to be my shepherd, then he's going to feed and he's going to lead and he's going to care for my needs that day. In John chapter 10, verses 14 to 15, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and they know me, and I lay down my life for my sheep. He's talking about him and us. That's what he did on the cross. He gave his life for you and for me. And if he loved us enough to die for us, then he certainly loves us enough to feed us and to lead us and to care for our needs. And we can say that prayer that David prayed in Psalm 28, verse 9. Come, Lord, save us and bless us. Be our shepherd and always carry us in your arms. I can pray that. Lord, I need you to save me today. I need you to bless me today. I need you to be my shepherd today. I need you to carry me in your arms today. Well, secondly, the way we do that is to give Jesus first place in every area of my life. Every day, ask Jesus to be my shepherd. Give Jesus first place in every area of my life. You know, when we say, Jesus, come into my life, or in a sense, it could be this way, you know, Jesus, come into my house. This is my house, this body. And we need to say, man, Jesus, you can have the whole house. You have the whole house. You've got access to every room. You've got access to the bedroom. You've got access to the bathroom, to the kitchen in my life. You've got access to that closet over there. You've got access to the garage, to the living room, to the dining room. It's all yours. Jesus, take over this whole house. Have you ever offered him that? Matthew 6, 31 to 33 says, your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Every day I ask Jesus to be my shepherd, and then I give him first place in every area of my life. And here's the third thing. Relax and give him my worries in prayer. Relax and give him my worries in prayer. God wants you to give him your worries in prayer. You just say, Jesus, just take these things that I'm worried about, and you hand them over to him. You know, last week we talked about making a list of all the good things God's done for you. And when you start to get down, to pull out that list and to read it and say, wow, God really has been good to me. The freedom I have, I have a brain, I can see, I can hear, be reminded of all the many things that we take for granted. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Just give them to him. I mean, if you try to push down the worries in life again, it's just gonna make us sick. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, we touched on this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which far exceeds anything that we can understand. The Bible calls this peace that goes beyond our understanding. Peace that passes understanding. It's the Lord is my shepherd, peace. And then the fourth thing I would suggest is that we trust him for one day at a time. We trust him for one day at a time. I mean, it's there. Matthew 6, 34. So don't worry about tomorrow. The first part is good. You know, don't worry about tomorrow. Hey, because each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry, tomorrow's coming. See, I always thought that when we worry so much about tomorrow's problems, that we run a big risk of missing today's blessings. When we worry so much about tomorrow's problems, we run a big risk of missing today's blessings. You know, the Bible doesn't say, talking with the kids, we'll get to this point in the Lord's Prayer, but it doesn't say, give us this day our weekly bread. Nah, we're to pray, give me today my daily bread. God, give me just enough strength to make it through today, to get through today, to honor you, to be in the place you want me to be. And he wants us to depend on him one day at a time. Now, it's okay to plan for tomorrow. It's okay to plan for the future. Just don't worry about the future. Planning is good. Worry is bad. Jesus highly recommends planning. God says it's foolish not to plan. You can plan for tomorrow, but you can't live in tomorrow. You can only live today. Again, Matthew 6:34, the Message translation, paraphrase, it says this: give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Now, I want to make a couple of comments here about worry and stress and anxiety. If you're here today and you struggle with chronic anxiety and you've had it for years, you may, in addition to this, you might need to see someone. You might need to go to a doctor if you haven't already. You may need to go and get some tests done. And you may even need something medically to help with that condition. That's okay. It's probably a chemical issue. When people's chemistry gets messed up, some folks are chronically anxious. Like others are chronically angry, or others seem to be chronically depressed. And it's important, if that's you, to you see someone about that possible medical side of things. And secondly, if that might be you today, it's possible you might need a coach or a counselor to talk to. And you may need some trusted friends to pray for you and support you as they're able. Because you see, if there's something going on there that's not your fault or a chemical imbalance, and for me to say, well, just trust God, it can add to an already overwhelming situation. I believe that God can heal you. I believe that He can heal you, but He has also given us each other, personal and friends to help, professional and friends to help each other. Well, I'll close with this last thought. What He gives me, what He gives to me, He wants to give through me. What God gives to me, He wants to give through me. In other words, everything God gives you is a potential resource to share with others. When He meets our needs, God wants to use us to meet the needs of others as well. Isaiah 58, chapter 58, verses 7 to 11. It's interesting description of what true worship is, what pleases the heart of God. And it says this: share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them, and do not hide from relatives who need help. I love that part. You're funny. Do not hide from relatives. It doesn't matter what translation you use, that's the same idea. Then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I am here, He will quickly reply. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. I like that. God says, if you do these things, I will do these things in your life because I am your shepherd. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are my shepherd. Lord, I thank you that you are our shepherd. If your word is true, I believe it is, then so are these things written in there. If some of these things aren't true, then we should just get a magic marker and black out those parts that aren't true. But I don't think that's the case. I don't believe that's the case. I believe that your word is true. And the things that we read this morning are truth. You call us not to worry about things. Do you know how hard that is? Yes, you do. And you know how hard it is for us. But Father, you've called us not to worry, to not worry about, anything, but to trust you and pray about everything. And so, God, I just pray that you would help us to learn that. For many of us, you're going to have to, really do some teaching and working in our hearts and minds. Holy Spirit, you're going to need to do some nudging and prompting and teaching and revealing and all of that to some of us who do a lot of worrying. But I pray that we would be convinced, first of all, that you love us, that you care for us. I pray that we would be convinced that your word is true, and Father, that we can trust it, that we can trust you in these things, and we can begin to practice these things in our lives, that we can continue to practice these things in our lives and just see how great you are and the great things you will do. God, we just commit ourselves to you in this way. Teach us, we ask, from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.